T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to Toy Drive Live as we broadcast for 24 straight hours. We're making one final push with the Fans 15th Annual Toy Drive for Children's Wisconsin and Robin's Nest, courtesy of Blaine's Farm and Fleet, and presented by Annex Wealth Management. Go to 1250amthefan.com to donate online or to find the nearest fire station to drop off your toys. Now back to the show with Tim Allen on 1250 AM The Fan.
Final couple of minutes for me and Evan on Toy Drive Live for Children's Wisconsin and Robin's Nest. As I'm wondering why I didn't get the overnight spot. I kind of wanted that, and I don't know if management knew that. That I have no problem. I think a few years ago I did a 12-hour broadcast, 10 o'clock at night till 10 in the morning.
Tim, we can stay here all night if you want.
Well, I didn't prepare for that, but Dan Plucker and Ryan Horvath, you guys are in good company. Evan, finally, your tweet here was during our broadcast, 8 to mid tonight. Any like on your tweet, you would match a dollar donation for Children's Wisconsin. What are we up to?
We are at 139 right now.
There you go. And that
still
will
time
be,
let's get that to 150 by the end of the show.
Got about 5 minutes. Yes, like that tweet. In the meantime, okay, so maybe I was unfair with the athletic ability of the fan staff. Let's get to the bottom of it. Dan Plucker and Ryan Horvath gonna be up next. Let's start with you, Horvath. You rather athletic, and I know a big high school player, but had an opportunity to play in college. Where do we cast you in the sports world?
Oh, man, if I don't tear my rotator cuff, I'm probably in the league right now. I don't know which league. Also, you have to look at it like this. I haven't grown since the seventh grade. I've been 5'10 since seventh grade and hit a growth spurt. My dad says it was because I found the herb too young, but he's crazy. I've never even seen this stuff, you guys. I've never even seen it. So that definitely wasn't the case. And also, Tim, you are welcome to stay on the overnight. See, I thought that nobody else wanted to do it, so I jumped in to save the day. If you want to stay, I got the topics for you. Here's one, all right, ready? Is Aaron Rodgers a diva? 414-799-1250.
Yes.
Should the Packers trade him for Derek Carr? 414-799. Should they trade him for Drew Lock? Should they trade Jordan Love for Drew Lock? We got plenty of content.
Where does
Taysom Hill fall into that?
Oh my God, he cost me $500 tonight.
You bet on him?
He's awful.
Yeah, it went up to 7, and I had to take the number, but it was brutal, man. And then it looked like he was going to backdoor it, and he throws the pick 6. That was some of the worst quarterbacking play that I've ever seen in my life. But the problem is behind him you have Trevor Siemian, and then, you know, even if Jameis doesn't go down, that's your starter from week one, Jameis. But I took the points with Sean Payton, thinking that they could come up with a game plan, kind of like they did against Green Bay week one, where, you know, you're pretty much just running the ball. But then when Kamara was out, I knew I was screwed. And then for some reason, they didn't want to give the ball to Mark Ingram.
Right.
Taysom Hill was throwing way too much. It was a lot of design runs for him. That was one of the top 10 worst football games I've ever seen in my life.
Okay, Plucker. What about you? And I understand baseball for you, right? Am I right with that?
Well, I played baseball, basketball, and football in high school. But I got recruited to play baseball at a couple D3 schools and then wound up here in Wisconsin. So
okay.
Yeah, that's kind of how that all worked out.
So if the fan staff were to get together, guys, mm-hmm. what league should we get in? Should it be a pool league, dart league, golf league, basketball? There's some leagues.
Well, here's the problem.
Hockey.
Here's the problem. I'll go first really quickly because I said the same thing. I said, we got to get, and this is when it was me and it was Billy and it was Mandela, yep. and we had a little bit of a squad. You know, we had some athletes. I said, we got to get a softball team.
Yes, that's what I said.
Or flag football and just destroy, like, all these other radio stations. And then I saw this video where Sparky and Rami raced.
Yep.
And it was the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, Rami was just, oh my God, brutal. And the worst part about it was that, like, Rami's the better of the athlete, like the better athlete, like it, even at the time. And this is, you know, before Rami got himself into shape, he was the better athlete.
How do you get broken ribs from a race is what I want to know.
And then I saw Sparky in the wrestling ring with Jerry the King Lawler, and I was like, this is – there's no way we could field the team. Like, we would have to, like, branch off with, like, other stations. Like, we would have to get, like, Ebo and, like, the dudes from, like, Madison. So maybe, like, now that Plucker – like, we got Heffelfinger I would trust. But, you know, with Rami, Sparky, and then Bart. Like, we haven't even got – like, maybe we have a chance in soccer, but I can't even imagine Bart on a basketball court. Could you guys – or with a bat in his hands?
That'd be fun.
But I will say this, that Sparky can shoot from the outside in basketball. I can attest to that.
Okay.
Years ago, I played.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if this was 20 years ago, but, I mean, I played against him. And he was a really good bowler.
That is true. Okay, maybe we could do a bowling team. You know what's funny? So that's my worst sport. Like, I would need, like, the bumpers almost. I'm terrible. And it's embarrassing, man. Like, I went with my – before my wife was even my wife, like – I like, you know, we would go like mini golfing, and I'm pretty good at golf. Like, I'm decent. But then when we would go bowling, it was like embarrassing. And the problem is I can't like lose in anything, like even on a date night, and like be like, you know, cute about it or like romantic and be like, aha, you got me this time. I get like pissed, you know, like if I get beat in anything because I'm competitive. And then I start MFing
people. Bart was on a mini golf league, wasn't he?
Yeah, I was going to say, Horvath, you might be onto something there. Maybe we need to start a mini golf league. That might be where our success is.
Is that actually
horseshoes?
A thing?
It has to be. We can if we can bring Joe Zenzola back and we can get him to swing like he did in this studio every single day before practice. Before his show, he would sit here and practice his putt
swing. Oh, it wasn't just before.
It
was
his drive all day long.
Before,
during,
after.
We can get him to come back and be a part of this team, we might have an elite mini golf squad.
Now, pickleball seems to be a new craze that's just sweeping the nation. Have you seen this, guys?
No.
Pickleball.
As in, like,
look it
like
up, look it
pickle,
up.
Well, like, with well, baseball? Or
No. Just look it up while I got it's you like, guys on
it's
here.
It's, like,
you,
really
you all have,
intense you, table tennis, isn't it?
Kind
like,
of, yes.
Similar,
it's like
similar
ping
vibes.
Pong.
Yeah.
I don't have the brain cells for that. I think it would have to be, like, we would have to be, it'd be a softball beer league team, or we would have to be, like, a beer drinking team.
Horseshoes.
Horseshoes I could do. Or bags.
Oh, bags. I'm
good
at bags.
I like
I'm
that,
really
too.
Good at bags.
Yeah, but the punt, pass, and kick competition, I thought, you know, a lot of times in this business, guys, you think you have, like, I have the best idea. It's, check this out. So Bart and Horvath in their morning show, they do what's called the morning mind bender. And this is really going to take off, and it's going to skyrocket the rating. Okay, most times that just doesn't work. You rely on what your format is, your content. But I had this idea for social media to expand our social media presence. And this was years ago. Why don't we do, like that video you referred to, Ryan, of Sparky and Rami, the punt, pass, and kick competition. We tie a charity in there. And this Saturday, it's going to be Horvath in the punt portion of the punt, pass, and kick against Mike McGivern, who can punt the and then you do
that.
It stagger and step ladder, and people would watch for that video. They don't want to see me throw a football anymore. I mean, I was okay at it. I was all right at it at one point, but right now I think I'd hurt myself. But I don't know. They just shot it down like it was the morning mind bender.
Well, Tim,
I like that one.
Instead of you throwing a football, I want to see you throw out the first pitch at a Brewers game. That's what I want to see.
I do too, man. That's funny. We'll end on that note right there. These rules and regulations in terms of professional franchises and broadcasting, they come into play here. And I make no bones about it. We're not a flagship. We're not the Brewers flagship. So that comes with some non-rights on property broadcasts, on certain things. And I just think it's all dumb. It's just my thoughts on that. But, Plucker, you're right. I think before I pass away, I do want to do that one time. Just get out there and just have that view. And have that, that connection to the Brewers. And, boy, you know, I look at more deserving individuals. I do. There's a lot of charities. There's a lot of folks that need the spotlight and want the spotlight and deserve the spotlight to throw out First Pitch for their cause and things like that. But if there's ever a stray Tuesday night game against the Pittsburgh Pirates, man, I would love to. I really would.
Well, you certainly deserve it for all the years you've done that postgame show.
Yep, and all good things come to an end.
You know what, Tim? I'll tell you this, man. Even if the Brewers won't recognize you, and let's say that the Packers at 14-1 finally do it and win the Super Bowl, you know what I'm going to buy for you? You're going to throw out First Pitch opening day at the artist formerly known at Miller Park. It's still Miller Park to me, by the way. It's just like I don't even know. Like, it's still Comiskey Park for me, like on the south side of Chicago. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not gonna let these suits take away my childhood. Kidding. But I will buy it for you if the Packers could win the Super Bowl. The problem is we'll probably match up against Tampa Bay. Brady will throw three picks. We'll still lose the game.
Orvat, you got to meet me in Vegas for the Super Bowl. But I know that the job you do now probably going to require you not to be in Las Vegas at that time, huh?
You know, what's funny is that I don't work Sundays because I actually can't because of my wife. She works Sundays, so I have to stay home with the boys since we know nobody out here. So I was already looking into it. I'm trying to make that a thing, like especially a live betting show. We should be in Vegas. So,
oh, that's true. You actually should
be
in Vegas.
Exactly. So we'll be at the MGM. We'll talk off the air, but I might be making that trip with you. And in March for March Madness as well.
It's great hearing from you, Ryan Horvath, and talking to you. Everybody else, don't go anywhere. The Toy Drive live broadcast continues. It goes all throughout the night. Dan Plucker, always a pleasure talking with you. We got to do a show together at some point soon.
Absolutely.
For sure. And Evan, you did an amazing job. And I just want to point out that Evan was a varsity letter and did break his back in gym class.
Yes, I did.
You broke your back?
Have you not heard that story?
Evan, you got to stick around so we can get that in the next show.
Yeah, give him
Yeah, I
got to
hear this. You broke your back?
Oh, yeah.
He blames the coach.
Okay. We got 2 weeks of content on the Rami and Tim show out of me breaking my back.
He blames the coach. Legitimate
question. Did you go to Children's Wisconsin when you broke your back?
No. But I have been to Children's Wisconsin a couple times, like when I broke my arm.
Okay.
Well, I hit my head a lot as a kid.
Well, here, hold on. Ask him that question again. And now, Evan, you lie for the
Yeah, we got to make this a promo. Evan, did you go to Children's Wisconsin when you broke your back?
Oh, like 15 times. And it was just great care every single time that I went.
Doctor said he needed a backtheotomy when he was there.
And it truly is. And you guys log on to the website, 1250amthefan.com. Click on that Toy Drive link, and it'll tell you everything you need to know. Dan, Ryan Horvath, always a pleasure, guys. Have a great broadcast. We'll talk to you soon. For Evan Heffelfinger, yes, that's his real name. My name is Tim Allen. Have a great night, and stay tuned. Toy Drive Live continues next.
WSSP Milwaukee. Donate today for the 15th annual Fan Toy Drive for Children's Wisconsin. Thank you for listening, and happy holidays from The Fan.
In 2020, 1 in 7 children experienced abuse and neglect. 60% did not receive the treatment they needed. Become a lifeline. When you donate your vehicle to Rawhide Youth Services, you provide critical mental health care to boys in our residential program and youth at our counseling and equine therapy centers in your community. Donate today at rawhide.org/lifeline and be entered to win a trip or a $2,500 gift card.
Hey, Roddy, you okay?
Is it that obvious? I'm feeling deflated. Don't get out much these days.
I'm a bit weathered, too. When's the last time you've been out?
Went from random road trips to four walls. At least you get out.
Essential trips only. As a family SUV, plenty of room for groceries. Yeah, definitely looking flat around the tires, sporty.
Car problems? Try being the teen car the time forgot. I'm non-existent, and my radiator's clogged. I haven't been driven for months.
I'm Mike at John Paul's Buick GMC. Think you're cooped up? Imagine how your car feels. It's time to show your car some love. Bring them in to John Paul's for a tune-up and hit the open road with confidence again. Right now, we're offering our price match guarantee on tires. Now servicing at John Paul's Buick GMC, Highway 100, north of Bullitt Road. JohnPaulsAutomotive.com.
John Paul's Buick GMC. The Packers are sitting pretty at 9-3. They may have a bye this week, but we don't. We're talking Packers football. This is WSSP Milwaukee, 1250 AM The Fan, an Odyssey station. You're listening to The Fan's 24-hour Toy Drive Live as we raise money and collect toys for Children's Wisconsin and Robin's Nest on 1250 AM The Fan.
It's Toy Drive Live, and we're in, what, hour six of this now? Midnight, Friday. It's actually the day of the Toy Drive, the one we've been promoting, December 3rd, Friday. Happy Friday to you now. Last day of the week, it's Dan Plucker and Ryan Horvath. My privilege to bring Ryan Horvath on the show with me today. Super excited to have him around. He was just telling me he's in D.C. right now. You all know him and remember him from the Bart Winkler show. He's in D.C. right now. Just got done with his national show. Told me he just got home, and now he's on with me. So, Horvath, an absolute privilege to have you on with me for this ride. I'm excited for it, dude.
Well, dude, I'm so jacked, and I said yes for so many reasons. A, the cause, which I know we're going to get into. You know, children's, I mean, we'll get all into it. And I'll be actually paying a visit here in 2 weeks where my son has his last surgery, and luckily they got him back up and running. He'll be able to be cleared for activities and play baseball after breaking his femur. Devastating injury for a 7-year-old, now 8-year-old. Also, I get to host with you, which is awesome. And like you just said, I just got home. I got a Tombstone pizza, 2 Red Bulls, and I'm up usually until 5 a.m. Anyway, this is when I watch my condensed game film, so I'll actually be watching the Packers. We'll be doing the show. I'm always talking to myself anyway until 4 a.m. while I watch these games. And we got the big ones coming up this weekend. If you're a college football fan, man, you got to stick around for hour number 2 of the show tonight, because we're going to be talking about these conference championship games. And I think there's going to be some upsets. I think we're going to get some chaos. We have some coaching changes in college football.
Oh, man.
I have to rag on Brian Kelly because I had the stomach flu and I didn't even get to do that yet. So I'm just jacked, man.
Yeah, no, I cannot wait for our college football talk, because both of our heads live in college football, Ryan. So, and I've never done a show with you before, so that's also incredible. And now we get to talk college football, which we don't do a lot of on this station, for a full hour, just you and me, maybe even longer, depending on how that conversation goes. But yes, it's Toy Drive Live with Dan Plucker, Ryan Horvath for the next 3 hours. And it's all to benefit Children's Wisconsin and Robin's Nest, the 15th annual WSSP Toy Drive. And we do this every single year, and it's an absolute privilege for us to be on the air and help promote an incredible cause to help out children in need during the holiday season. And not just that, but hopefully with all of the donations we get also throughout the course of 2022, so that next year when we do this again, they don't need all of the toys. They have a surplus of toys going into next year as well. You can donate at 1250amthefan.com. And also a bunch of fire departments across Milwaukee as well, where you can actually physically drop off toys as well. And you can find that whole list as well on 1250amthefan.com. Before the break, though, Evan Heffelfinger, who was just with you with Tim Allen for the last 4 hours, he's sticking around because he has just an incredible story to tell about his athletic days. Because I know that's what Tim was going through with his whole couple hours of the show there. They were kind of discussing, you know, what would we do as a fan staff if we were to play a sport? And we don't necessarily have the most athletic bunch of dudes here anymore. Like you said, Horvath, there was you, there was Baby Tausch back in the day, Mandela, and now there's people that are not fit, like me and Evan and Bart.
Us three, I think you, me, Evan, I think we would do some damage on a basketball court, 3-on-3. I think we would be all fine on the baseball or softball field. Football, I mean, I'm way too old these days. But I worry a little bit about my buddy Bart. What time are we playing these games? Because are we going to have him sober? I feel like we have like a 6 a.m. to 11 a.m. We have like a 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. range where we have him sober for the day. And what's his cardio looking like these days? Because before I bolted for D.C., he was packing on the pounds.
Yeah, no doubt. And he's talked about it on air as well. Talked about how he wants to lose weight, and people are trying to help him. Rami's trying to get him to do all of the like yoga and feng shui type stuff that Rami does to stay in shape, go on walks, do all of these different things.
Yeah.
And like, I'm pretty sure Bart got a Fitbit even, and for a while, like, he started losing a couple pounds, and then I think that all kind of changed. But yeah, this group here at 12:50 a.m. The Fan, not necessarily having the athletic prowess that they once did. Evan, I want you to tell us the story of your athletic prowess in high school and how you broke your back.
Well, first, I want it to be known that I play basketball like Nikola Jokic, and I mean it in a good way.
Good.
Because I'm tall, fat, but so skilled out on the basketball court. I need that to be known by everybody before I say what I'm about to say. How deep do I go? Do I go into, like, it was a dark and stormy night?
Yeah, I want you to go through the whole tale.
Oh boy.
Of this. I want you to tell it as poetically as you can.
So this was my junior year of high school. I was halfway through my second year of junior varsity swim team. I did not make basketball team after my freshman year. I also had just been cast in the school play in the role called Gadzooks. Does that matter at all? No, it does not. But one fateful gym class, my gym teacher, who also happened to be my baseball coach, I've known that man since I was about 4 or 5 years old because I took his baseball camps. I love the man. He's a great guy, but he wasn't the smartest man in the entire world. And
fair.
That included his time as a gym teacher, some interesting ideas. So in our field house one day, he decided, I'm going to set up an obstacle course, which included the hurdles. That's what
hurdles,
they're called.
Yeah.
Yeah, good job, me. It's midnight. I'm usually asleep by now.
Exactly.
And part of it was you had to hold hands with a partner, and my partner I'd never met before in my entire life, which was a great start. We had to climb up our half-closed bleachers in our field house, slap the wall, run back down the half-closed bleachers, and jump onto a high jump mat that looked like it was from 1972. And we had two ways to fall. Our coach said we could either land on our butts or our feet. Now, me being 6'2 and 265 pounds on a good day at that time, I figured if I jumped on my legs, I would break my legs. Like, my bones would be sticking outside of my body. So I decided, you know, I have a large derriere a little bit, not to brag. I'm going to try to land on that. And
so how high was it on the bleachers again? You said about 10 feet?
So figure probably 6 to 8 feet, but then I'm also 6 feet, so 12 feet basically.
Right.
And jump down, land on my butt, and I suffered a compression fracture. So two of my discs went from, like, you know, 2 inches apart to, like, less than an inch probably. And just,
oh my God.
It was, like, it's the weirdest pain that I've ever experienced in my life, because it wasn't like a shooting pain. You know, like, you know, you burn yourself and it's sharp and it kind of hurts.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a searing pain. Like, it was just like a dull, excruciating, like, lull of pain for like a month, 2 months. I thought I just, like, had a bruised bone. Got an x-ray like literally 2 or 3 months later, and the doctor was like, you idiot, why did you not come in? You had a broken back and it's already started to heal because it's been so long. And I missed the end of the swim season, and of course I missed the first month of the baseball season, his own season. I missed playing time because he broke my back.
Wow. So you blame the coach?
Oh, absolutely. Like, my mom wanted to file a lawsuit, and I was like, Mom.
Whoa.
You know.
I would have.
But my dad was also a teacher at the school. So I was like, that's probably not going to be good for dad's career future endeavors. But come to find out, he left when I left school anyway. So.
See, when Evan first told this story.
So you should have got the money out of it, at least.
Wow.
I mean,
maybe.
I mean, am I going to have back pain the rest of my life? Yeah. But was to anyway? Possibly.
Well, not for sure. And the back injury, right? That might have cost you your career in the league.
Yeah,
there you go.
I was
that's $1 million.
I was probably a projected like 12th round baseball pick. You know, I could have been the next Prince Fielder, but I guess not.
Even if you were a career minor leaguer, man, you're getting paid to live the dream.
Yeah, all $7,000 a year.
So, Evan, not with that injury, but with your arm injury, you said you spent a little time at Children's Wisconsin.
So, yeah, when I was a kid, I broke my arm tripping over my dog, which, you know, a great injury. I've injured myself in so many ways. Like, another time that I went to Children's Hospital, I set my chair up as a child on top of the couch. And believe it or not, it's not sturdy. So when you sit down on it, you fall, and I hit my head on a lamp. So I had to go to Children's Hospital for that.
So you've had the most ridiculous injuries ever.
Yeah.
It doesn't end. It really does not end. One day I tripped and got rug burn on my face. That was fun.
Jesus.
And you had to go to Children's Wisconsin for that too?
Luckily, no.
Okay.
But yeah, that was fun. But when I told Rami this story, it was like he has never heard anything funnier in his entire life. He also immediately found a sound effect of just like a large thud.
Yeah, like a doof, like a deep, like echoing thud. Yes.
It like probably once a month he has me come back on the show just so that he can make fun of me and to play that drop again.
And no offense, but I was looking for that drop. I couldn't find it, unfortunately, but.
I bet I could find it right now because I had to play it myself a couple times because he made me play it a couple of times.
Okay, hang on a second.
Yeah, let's just yeah, get him. Yeah, there it is.
So
imagine that noise in the field house on one brisk winter afternoon at Milwaukee Lutheran High School.
I can't even imagine that. So wait, like do you still find yourself getting injured all the time, like hurting yourself, or have you gotten better as you've gotten older?
I've gotten better, and that's probably just because I don't do anything anymore. When I was at Home Depot, I remember I would come home from a day and I would have like 7 different scratches on my body that I could not tell you how I got them, whether it be from like a nail or like some
mulch. Yeah, see, I'm like that too, and like then I like WebMD it, and like you don't want to WebMD.
You have cancer. You have cancer.
Exactly. Like I'm like, oh my god, I'm going down. I like start writing out my will. I'm like, all right, this goes to this person. This goes to my son, obviously. And I'm like, oh, I'm fine. Yeah, I have that same problem. I'm always like, especially if I drink. Like when I used to go out, like in my like early 20s, you know, and I would go out, I'd always wake up the next morning severely hungover, blacked out. The first thing I would do always, you never wanted to do it, you would check your pockets because like this is back in the day before like I would jump on my phone to check my bank account. I would see my ATM statements and I'd be like, oh good, I only spent like $5 at this bar. But then I would notice that I would do it like 100 different times, keep opening up and closing out my tab. And then you'd like look at your arms and you'd be all bruised up. But I promise I don't have a drinking problem or anything. These are my younger days. Younger days.
There were times when I would drink where, like, especially when I get drunk and we're out at a club. I hate clubs so much.
Same.
But once you're drunk, like, you kind of just have to go with it. So I would just dance my heart out. And I would
really?
Be, yeah, oh my gosh,
I would not catch you for a big dancer at the club.
Listen, I played percussion. I have the rhythm a little bit. Am I a good dancer?
Know.
No, I am not.
Okay,
I was going to say,
maybe I need to get you a little recording of you dancing in the next break here at 12:20 a.m.
I would do anything
that would
for
raise
content.
Some money.
That would definitely raise some money.
Listen, I'm so down, you have no idea. But I would dance so crazy that on top of being hungover the next morning, I would be sore from all the dance moves that I would pull off.
Yeah. No, so, I know. I've had that, like, my ankles. What Buck song do you think we could get you to bust? Remember
Buck's Lust?
I don't need to hear any
Should
more
we get
Eddie
Buck's
J.
Lust? Eddie what about, J. Lemberger?
Remember Let It Fly? Have we retired Let It Fly since
I think
they didn't
so.
Win the title? Okay, good, because that was the worst one ever. The Bucks of Woods, hot. There's no need to deny. Worst one ever. Okay, good.
Recently, Rami and Sam have been playing like the original Orlando Magic's
they did that for
song.
Me.
Yeah, they played it. They found it from like, I think they posted it on Twitter after a win. The Magic did, and it was like their 1970s theme song or something like that. And Sam just thought it was the greatest thing in the world.
I thought it was awesome like the first 7 times.
Yep, and then now I'm just like, okay, we can retire this one too, just like Eddie J. But Evan, so. I need a full analysis of this dancing on the dance floor. Like, are you the guy that, like, clears the dance floor and gets the worm going?
No,
or like,
no, no,
oh,
no.
So
no,
we're
no.
not to that level.
No, just kind of like, you know when you, like, throw your arms like in rhythm to the song.
Oh,
or, like,
sure.
You know, sometimes you might jump around, you might, you know, arms over the head. I remember one of my favorite stories that my friends told me was one night I was so drunk and was dancing so much that a girl came up to me and started dancing. And I didn't realize it, and I ignored her, and then she walked away.
You were just in your own
zone. I was in the zone.
That's when you know you're the man, though, that night. You know what I mean? Like, you're just brushing girls off. You're doing your own thing. Good for you, Evan.
No. I thought we were in that club for, like, 15 minutes. Apparently, we were there for, like, 2 hours. That's when you know it's bad.
Oh, that's the worst. That's when you know you've done bad things, too.
Yeah. Yeah. To be fair,
you don't remember.
It was my friend's 21st birthday, so I can use that as an excuse.
I mean, it wasn't your 21st birthday.
No.
Yeah.
My 21st birthday, I had one Spotted Cow, one Red's Apple Ale, and I watched Rick and Morty with my friends. That was it. Because it
was
like
a hell of a birthday.
Yeah. It was,
but I'm old now.
It was fun. Like, yeah, I absolutely loved it. But it was a Wednesday, and it was during like midterms in college. So it was like.
Yeah, no, see, that was my problem.
You couldn't do it.
Mm. Yeah, mine.
Yeah, go on.
My birthday's in August, so I'm always like the first week of the school year. And it was the first week of school for me for my 21st. And I don't really remember that Wednesday night. But
Sounds about right.
Mine was a Wednesday too, and it sucked because like, so the bars in Macomb, because I went to Western, like Thursday really through Monday, like they were like crazy. And on Sundays, like there was no, you couldn't buy liquor, but you could go to like the one bar that was open. But on Wednesdays, it was, like, dead. There was, like, one, like, townie bar. So me and my friends went there because I turned 21. And it was, like, us and the locals. And they don't like the college kids there too much, obviously.
Did you run into Tim Allen?
No, I didn't say. No, but, like, but it seemed like his type of people. And they were just, like, staring at us the entire time. And we were, like, for some reason, we had girls that were ordering Jell-O shots. And It ended up being a rough night, but that was my 21st too, also on a Wednesday, which wasn't great. But we celebrated on the weekend, but I was always hoping it would be on like a Friday or Saturday. It always sucks when your birthday falls on a weekday.
You know what else sucked? My golden birthday was during COVID. I was expecting, you know, as a kid, they tell you that your golden birthday is like the greatest day of your life. And I never got to experience it because of COVID.
Yeah. You know, golden birthdays are so weird because you're right. Like as a kid, it's super hyped up, especially if it's like one of those important years, you know, like you're 13, you're finally a teenager, like your sweet 16 or whatever. And maybe even for your 21st. But then by the time you're past it, like my birthday's on the 24th. So it's like,
so is mine.
It's like, you know, I'm 24 now. Is that really like as big of a deal anymore? Definitely not.
Well, you should make it a big deal because it could be the last big one that you celebrate because like 30 sucks because then you're like, oh my God, I'm 30 and I'm getting old and I don't even want to know what 40 will be like.
I had that this year when I turned 25. I was like, oh no, I'm old now. I'm officially like, I have to be an adult now.
Yeah, you're like, is old. You know what's funny is like when you turn like 25, that's when you realize like, oh man, I sit here and like some nights I like criticize like Drew or Middleton or even Giannis and it's like, oh, they're my age and they're multimillionaires. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they would literally destroy me if I ever encountered them. That's why I try to be like, that's why I never say like an athlete sucks. I hate when people are like, he's trash. He's trash. I'm like, is he? Because he would give you buckets and like leave you crying.
Yeah, I know. That's me with all like college basketball or college football teams now. Cause I'm like, my God, I'm 24. Like I'm older than all of these dudes now. Like Aiden Hutchinson is 6'4 and 200 and something pounds and could beat the crap out of me. And I'm me, 24-year-old, who's sitting in front of a mic criticizing him or whoever it be at Wisconsin or Michigan or wherever. It's so weird.
Here's another embarrassing story. I had that first feeling of like, oh, man, I'm old when I was 18.
Oh, no.
It was the day of the MLB draft. And you know how 17 and 18-year-olds get drafted? And they were going early. And I remember thinking, wow, there are people younger than me getting drafted while I was standing in my kitchen with an oven mitt on my hand talking to myself. And I was like, oh, what did I do? Where have I gone wrong that this is my life?
Yeah, LeBron got me because I was like close to LeBron's age. And I was like, man. And I was like, you know, that one. And then the other weird, like when Sean McVay became head coach of the Rams, he was only a couple years older than me. I was like, man, like I honestly... I'm working part-time, and I'm, like, working cutting-edge outdoors in McGivern shows, running the board, and McVay is, like, calling an NFL offense in the Super Bowl against Bill Belichick. I really need to reevaluate what I'm doing here.
Obviously, it panned out for you, Ryan, who's now hosting BetMGM
tonight. Oh, yeah, and I love cutting-edge outdoors. Don't get me wrong. I mean,
we love those boys.
We love those guys, too. But we know that struggle, I guess you can say, as part-time producers here. But now you're full-time. You're doing great things. He's Ryan Horvath. I'm Dan Plucker. And Evan Heffelfinger has been hanging out with us for the last 20 minutes or so. So thank you, Evan. Go home. Go to sleep.
Yeah.
And have a great rest of your day. Be sure to donate that, what was it, $143, I think, was the final mark.
I decided, you know, just because I like round numbers, I'll just make it 150.
And even 150 from Evan Heffelfinger. Thank you for everybody who liked that tweet, because now Evan Heffelfinger has to pay up. So appreciate it, Evan, for your great donation to the fans' 15th annual toy drive, which is why we are live right now at 12:30 in the morning Central Time, or 1:30 Eastern Time where Horvath is in Washington, D.C., or wherever you may be. Happy Friday to you. It's Dan Plucker, Ryan Horvath, hanging out for the next 2.5 hours here on Toy Drive Live. We'll hit a quick break. When we come back, we'll be talking about this Packers season, because I know Horvath has a lot to say about this Green Bay Packers team, not getting the opportunity to talk about them every day and loving this team and this game so much. It's Dan Plucker, Ryan Horvath, continuing next here on Toy Drive Live.
WSSP Milwaukee. You're listening to Toy Drive Live as we broadcast for 24 straight hours. It's Christmas time. Thank you for listening and happy holidays from the Fan.
You're listening to Toy Drive Live as we broadcast for 24 straight hours. We're making one final push with the Fan's 15th annual Toy Drive for Children's Wisconsin and Robin's Nest, courtesy of Blaine's Farm and Fleet, and presented by Annex Wealth Management. Go to 1250amthefan.com to donate online or to find the nearest fire station to drop off your toys. Now back to the show with Dan Plucker on 1250 AM The Fan.
It is Toy Drive Live, and it is the Fan's 15th annual WSSP Toy Drive benefiting Children's Wisconsin and Robin's Nest. It's Dan Plucker from the Wendy's Big Show and Ryan Horvath from BetMGM tonight, heard nationally across several airwaves across our beautiful country and also located in Washington, D.C. is Horvath. So our appreciation to him for being with us today. And now also, before we get into the Packers, because we got some news around the Packers, which is great for this show. You know, midnight is the ideal time for news to be popping in about the Green Bay Packers. First, let's get out to Mike on the south side who called in. Mike, what's going on, dude? And happy Toy Drive Day to you.
Hey, guys. Good to hear your voices.
Good to hear you, Mike. Happy holidays,
I'll be up till 6, so
You're doing the whole toy drive with us.
Doing the whole bit.
Yeah, Mike, are you going to join every show? That's what I heard you say bit earlier.
I do. I'll do a 4-day. I call nationwide. My mom's telling me don't talk so loud. Jody Mack.
Yeah, you got to call him with Jody Mack, right? You were telling him how good Wisconsin was going to be again in that Minnesota game.
And then they lost.
Yeah. And then they lost, yeah.
Yeah, I bet on a mic, so I'm with you, pal.
And the woman, she's on from midnight till 6.
Amy Lawrence, usually on from midnight to 4, I think.
I can't remember her name.
Yeah, Amy Lawrence. You remember, though, Mike, usually I would cut her. Well, I'd come on right after she would get done.
I can hardly hear you.
Horvath said he would come in onto the show at 5 a.m.
Hold on.
Oh.
All right, Mike. Let's hold on for Mike.
Okay, go ahead.
There you go, Mike.
Yeah, Horvath was saying that he used to come on at 5 a.m. after Amy Lawrence.
Yeah, Amy Lawrence. That's it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, yeah. She's the best.
That's a good show.
All right, Mike. Well, thanks for hanging out with us all day. Oh, what else you got for me?
Talking about...
Get those notes out.
I'm 56 years old.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 18, I puked all over my shoes on my birthday.
Oh, God.
Okay.
You know, grandfather-in-law.
Oh, sure.
And then when I was 30, I puked all over, and there was no one there. I rented a limo the whole bit. I found myself just sitting there alone. But real quick, for 2 years, when the Packers won the Super Bowl with Favre, I had these two-girl posse that I used to hang out with.
Hello?
Hang on, that was my fault. I got another call and I tried to pick it up. Hang on, Mike, you're back. What's up?
I think we're...
Oh, we lost him again. All right, see you, Mike.
Good, yeah.
That's probably fine.
Yeah, I think that's for the best, actually, Dan, because we have some stuff to talk about, including, you know, Za'Darius Smith.
Yeah, Za'Darius Smith.
Hold on, really quick. Did I get this right? Did Mike say when I was 12 years old on my birthday, I puked on my shoes, and then when I was 30, he did the same?
No. I think he said when he was 18, because he got grandfathered in for the 18th, like, back when you could be 18 and still drink legally, because he was grandfathered in with that grandfather clause before it got changed to 21 in terms of the law. I think that's what he was saying. I hope he wasn't getting drunk when he was 12, but I don't know. Mike on the South Side, always a great caller. Happy to have him along with us for the toy drive. He said he's going to call into every show, which is dedication. Okay. So credit to him. But it's Dan Plucker, Ryan Horvath hanging out with you right now on Toy Drive Live. Go to 1250amthefan.com to donate. We're doing this for 24 hours straight. And honestly, I get kind of confused by that because we also went from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. yesterday, and we've been on the air ever since. So it should be like a 36-hour toy drive if I'm doing math correctly in my head right now. But we're good with 24 as well here on 1250 AM The Fan. Make sure to donate and do all these different things to help out the toy drive today. And Ryan, yeah, let's get into this Za'Darius Smith news a little bit. Matt Schneidman posting on Twitter about, right at the top of this show, actually, about Za'Darius Smith, who on his Instagram said, "It's about that time," with like a little cheese smiling emoji.
Yeah, and thank God, because so a couple things here. What concerns me a little bit is just anytime you're dealing with a back injury, and I just feel like sometimes it seems like Za'Darius goes to social media before, like, he goes to the team's training staff,
right,
or to LaFleur or to Joe Barry, because we've done this, you know, where he was like, "I'm good to go," and he posted on social media, and then that put LaFleur in that rough situation where at his presser he was asked about it, and he's like, "Yeah, I don't know anything about that. You know, Za'Darius isn't going to be ready anytime soon." But I think this means he is going to be back, and I mean, this is what we expected, right? That he's probably going to be fully healthy here soon, at least 80%, and ready to get back on the field. And we kind of saw that, like, last week, even when him and Jair were on the sidelines, they were standing right next to LaFleur at the end of that game, hyping up the crowd. And what I love about this so much is Preston looks really good this year. Like, Preston's going to earn himself another paycheck. I don't know if it's going to be in Green Bay, but he slimmed down. He has been a monster. This has been his best season. Like, even before he got the bag,
right,
when he was in Washington, this has been his best year as a pro, in my opinion. Rashawn Gary is my favorite defensive player in the league. Like, good call on him, Plucker, and I kind of said the same thing because I didn't love how they used him at Michigan, but they kind of had to use him that way at Michigan because,
right,
and now you're seeing why, though, because he could do it all. He gets after the quarterback, and he's just got that mean streak, and, like, that was the thing. Like, when he was young and he was at Michigan, I don't know that he had that. You know, maybe he did. I wasn't at practice every single day there. But,
well,
man, he is aggressive and he is scary. And now you bring back Za'Darius, and you have Campbell already, who could cover, you know, just fine. And I think the defense is only going to get tougher, obviously. I mean, I'm telling you, they're bringing back an all-pro that has double-digit sacks two consecutive seasons. But it was just that I was kind of looking at this team, like, kind of counting out him and Jair maybe even for the season. And that's why I've been so impressed with them. To get them back, it's Super Bowl or bust now.
Yeah, well, with Rashawn Gary, like you were saying, in college, the reason why I knew he was going to be good is just the freakish athletic ability that the dude had. Like,
exactly.
There are very few humans on this planet that can do what Rashawn Gary can do. And the only thing he really knew at the college level was bull rush. And if you can, if you're bigger, stronger, faster than everybody else on the field, which essentially Rashawn Gary is, the rest of the technique and all of those things you can learn if you're disciplined enough. And he's shown over the course of the last couple seasons that he's learned a lot and has continued to grow. And now that's being reaped with him getting to the quarterback so often. I think PFF, based on PFF statistics, he's like the number two pass rusher in the NFL right now, behind only Max Crosby of the Oakland Raiders. So he's that good. Like, he's unbelievably talented and has that much of a threat on that opposite side, which will only help bringing Za'Darius back, because, like you said, Preston Smith is having maybe the best season of his career, knowing that he needs to hopefully get another contract, and what he did last year was not going to get him at least the money that he thinks he should deserve. And what excites me the most about Za'Darius is I'm very much looking forward to seeing how Joe Barry used him, because yes. Mike Pettine last year, like, he would line up Za'Darius over the middle and have him bull rush from the middle or do all these different things and line him up literally at every single position on the defensive line in a two-point stance, and he would just blitz the quarterback from wherever it was, and he would get home often. So now that you have Preston Smith, who's playing way better, Rashawn Gary at like peaking at this point and hopefully getting even better as the seasons go on, now you bring in Za'Darius Smith into that pass rush next to Kenny Clark, maybe even two, if you line up Za'Darius on the inside. Who has a better defensive front right now than the Green Bay Packers? There are not many teams, if any. Maybe the Buccaneers and maybe there are a couple different teams out there, but the Packers are right up there with top teams in the NFL.
Buccaneers, you know, the Bills are tough. Right. The Bengals are up and coming. Like, don't sleep on their front four. They're also the most, but also they're the most expensive front four. That's a bought front four as well. And I know, Kenny Clark, your draft, but Preston and Za'Darius, you went out and signed. And so that was the thing. So I didn't hate the Rashawn Gary pick. In fact, like, my wife has this video. We were at a Buffalo Wild Wings. I was just like, really? I was like, okay, I thought that he was going to be a second round pick, maybe even a third round, like he slips and falls maybe. But what I didn't understand was, I was like, okay, you just paid the money to Preston and Za'Darius, and now you're adding another pass rusher. While I like it, like, does this fit Mike Pettine's scheme? Is he going to find a way to get all these guys on the field? Like, is Gary going to play with his hand in the dirt? How are they going to do this? And he never got creative with it. And so now you have Joe Barry, and that's why, like, I'm so high on Joe Barry right now, not only because he's, like, a fiery guy, and we read these comments on social media about how he's running to the locker room, like, dropping F-bombs all fired up, and, like, that's what we've needed. That's what Green Bay has needed.
Yeah.
And you look at it like this, though, but, like, look at his schemes. He hasn't even had everybody available this season. Every week there's been a key injury. Like, Za'Darius wasn't fully healthy week one. He was like 40%. He should have never been out there, because then he got himself even more hurt. We haven't had him since. You know, he's been without Jair. He's been without, you know, Kenny Clark at times, you know, not very much this season, of course, but everybody's really went down, like, and they continue to make do, and he's been great. And now you get Za'Darius back, and it's like almost we forget how great Za'Darius is, just because the pass rush has actually been relevant this year with Preston and with Rashawn Gary. Really quick, going back to Rashawn Gary, the other thing, man, like, that has impressed me the most besides is just like technique, which and now it all makes sense. Like, going back to, why did they draft this kid out of Michigan who was going to be a project that was going to take a year or two, when you just signed two pass rushers very expensively in Preston and Za'Darius? Well, that's why. Because they taught him so much. You know, that didn't really come from Mike Pettine. Like, playing behind those guys and with those guys, I mean, you know, him and Za'Darius got in a little bit of trouble together, riding and picking up a bag or whatever they were doing. But still, like, you know, he took him under his wing right away. So Za'Darius, that's what I love about that guy. He's a leader. But with Rashawn, man, like, the technique and then just, like, the little things. Like, he is violent, but he knows how to get after the quarterback and how to attack and how to force those fumbles. Like, every week, like, you see something new, like when he gets after the quarterback and he'll like use the jab, or he'll, go for the swim move. He can literally do it all.
Or spin, or
man.
Whatever it is. Yeah.
And he gets after the quarterback and he forces these fumbles. And like, even if he's like a couple inches away, he'll like force his hand in there. It's just, he's been awesome to watch this year. I predicted double digit sacks. He's been even better than I expected this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can't think of anybody else that has made as big of a jump as Rashawn Gary this season on the Packers. Like, that it was here last year. I mean, obviously you can throw in Devondre Campbell, and Kevin King has been better this year, and Chris Barnes has been really good. Dean Lowry has been great. Even Lancaster, Kingsley Keke have had their moments this season as well. But I don't know, this team, dude, it just seems to have something special. And the way that, I mean, the defensive line is great, but the way this whole front seven has really formed, you look at the linebacking core as well, and you look at Chris Barnes, who is an undrafted free agent, now coming in and playing at a really high level for Green Bay, and then bringing in Devondre Campbell off the street. I mean, these were two guys that nobody wanted that are now excelling in Green Bay. It's a testament to the Packers just in general being able to find talent from nowhere. Rasul Douglas, another dude that nobody wanted, was on a practice squad. Offensive line, you can pull Yash Nijman and John Runyon, who was a sixth-round pick, and Royce Newman, who was a fourth. Like, these dudes that aren't these premier players coming out of college or even in free agency, and Green Bay just seems to find them and plug them into position and they succeed. I can't fully wrap my head around how they continue to hit left and right, but they continue to find ways to get it done. Let's get out to Matt in Milwaukee here before we hit a quick break. Matt, you're on with Dan Plucker and Ryan Horvath here on Toy Drive Live.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, what's up, Matt? What you got for me today?
Not too much. Horvath appreciated the tweeting exchange between the Michigan-Wisconsin game we were talking about in college basketball a couple nights ago. But I think that Goody is not getting enough credit in the whole scheme of things right now for signing guys like Devontae Campbell and Rasul Douglas and whatnot. Like, I feel like he was such a blacklisted guy this offseason with the whole Rodgers drama that he is not getting enough credit now for what he's made this team.
No, I completely agree, and I was one of the guys that was destroying Goot, like, constantly, only because of the Jordan Love pick and just the drama that it caused. But it wasn't, you know what, like, I would always be like, Goot knows what he's doing at evaluating talent. Like, his draft picks, like, he knows what he's doing, right? And the guys that he signs off the street, like, sure, yeah, we want to go after the big-name free agents, or we want to trade for a couple years ago, it was A.J. Green. This year, some of us wanted Odell Beckham Jr. Like, yeah, who wouldn't want those guys
Will
if they're going to be cheap?
Will Fuller last year.
Yeah, it'd be a luxury.
J.J. Watt.
But, like, look at it like this. Like, the guys that he does sign always produce, and I think a lot of that has to do with the culture in that locker room, because I think LaFleur is that great, and I think that Green Bay does do a great job with the culture. Like, you look at some of these organizations, and they're always just going to be a mess. Like, the Browns have all the talent in the world, and that's going to be a team that can't win 10 games. But I don't even think, like, going back, you know, we put a lot of blame on Goot. I think a lot of the drama that came in the offseason was Rodgers was being, like, I don't like use the word diva, and everybody knows I love Rodgers, but, like, we've seen it even this season with, like, he's out there a little bit, and Mark Murphy sometimes just puts his, yeah, and Mark Murphy sometimes just needs to, like, not speak, because that's what everybody's always said about Gutekunst. You know, Goot is great at his job, but he's not a people person. You know, he's not going to go to the podium and be the most personable person. And Murphy, you know, great guy, does a lot of good, but he should just stay away from the microphone at this point, man. Like, pen your letter to the fans, but just you always put your foot in your mouth with the complicated fella stuff and this and that. So I would just have him away from the microphone.
I have a hot take for you, Horvath.
What's that? Hit it with us.
I think Goot's a top three GM in the NFL.
That's a good conversation to have. In fact, if I was on with Bart tomorrow, I'd make him do it, and we would label every single one of them. Because, like, you know what the funny thing is, though? If you do this conversation every 2 to 3 years, I feel like it would change, and I feel like it's because sometimes GMs get desperate and make a bunch of bold moves that don't end up working out. So you may be right, and he may actually end up being the best general manager in the league. The Rams? Right, they treat it like it's fantasy football. But let's look at John Lynch, for example. Remember a couple years back when San Francisco was beating up on us, and then they go to the Super Bowl, and everybody was praising him because they get Nick Bosa with the second pick, even though they were going to be a Super Bowl contender. You know, they had all those running backs where even Mostert's your third string back, and he's rushing for 200 yards in playoff games. And now look at him, man. Like, you traded up for Trey Lance, a project, when you don't know if Jimmy Garoppolo could lead you to a Super Bowl. And
right.
Mac Jones was sitting right there. And
yeah,
like,
and they traded a second-round pick for Garoppolo and paid him, what was it, $150 million for 4 or 5 years. And, like, that obviously wound up being a huge mistake. And now they're in this predicament that they're in where they had to spend all those picks to draft Trey Lance, who for some reason is still not starting over Jimmy Garoppolo, who they were giving up on and now are not. It's weird.
Exactly, and look at Ryan Pace, for example. Like, that's a great example of general managers getting desperate, where you select your franchise quarterback and you pass on, which may be the right decision at this time. Like, but you passed on Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes, and you select Trubisky, and you actually get the opportunity to draft your second franchise quarterback. So, like, what if Fields stinks? So that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I mean, Goot is really good, and when there's no drama. And I think even Rodgers, I mean, Rodgers said that a couple times. He's like, me and Brian are on the same page, and I agree with all the moves that he's made. And I think the good thing was everybody got over themselves, Murphy, Goot, and Rodgers. Because, like, let's look at it like this. Rodgers wanted Cobb. Goot didn't want to do that. He came out and said, if Rodgers didn't want Cobb, that's a move that we don't make. But it ended up working out. Like, yeah, he fumbled the punt, but he's 31. He shouldn't be out there returning punts anyway. But, like, look at the plays that he made last week.
I called you off that, Horvath. Don't worry.
Yeah, but he's I think that was a great pickup, man. Like, especially when, like, we have no other slot receivers. Like, I love MVS, but I mean, he runs one route. So I just a lot to be played there, but I feel like you could have that conversation
totally
every 2 or 3 years.
Every point you made, though. That's a good point. I'm with you on that.
Matt, we got to hit a quick break, so thanks for the call. It is Toy Drive Live, the 15th annual Fan Toy Drive for Children's Wisconsin and Robin's Nest, courtesy of Blaine's Farm and Fleet and presented by Annex Wealth Management. You can use the hashtag FanToyDrive on social media. Get the word out. Maybe if you're heading into work, maybe if you're at work, working the third shift right now, tell your friends, tell your family about this toy drive heading into 6 p.m. later today, which is weird to say. A couple hours from right now is when the toy drive will end, so there's no more time to deliberate about this. Get your toys into the fire stations across southeastern Wisconsin. You can find that whole list on 1250amthefan.com, where you can physically drop off a toy, or you can donate there as well. There is a link to donate money as well on 1250 AM The Fan today. We're helping out children in need in the holiday season. There's not a more important time to put a smile on a kid's face than right now or ever, really. You always want to make sure that those kids are smiling, even if they're in especially when they're not in the best situation, in such a happy time like the holiday season. It's Dan Plucker, Ryan Horvath hanging out with you for a couple more hours here on Toy Drive Live, and more coming up next here on The Fan.
WSSP Milwaukee. Donate today for the 15th annual Fan Toy Drive for Children's Wisconsin.
It is Christmas time.
Thank you for listening, and happy holidays from The Fan.